Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thanks for tuning in to Power in the Word. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and it's a blessing and an honor to be with you on today. God is good and worthy to be praised. There's no one like my Lord. There's no one like my Lord. I love him. I love him. I love him with everything in me, everything that I am, and everything that I ever aspire or hope to be. God gets the glory. God gets the glory in my life, and it's just a blessing to be able to serve him and to be able to come to you this afternoon, this Friday afternoon, with Power in the Word live. We've been live for a few weeks now, and I'm loving it. I am loving it. I am loving the ability to interact with the callers, with the listeners. And you have all been a blessing to me with your encouragement just to keep on keeping on to do what God has called me to do. And that's a word for you on today. Keep on keeping on. Keep keeping on. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't look back. Just continue to press forward to do the things that God has called you to do. You were born. You were born with a purpose. God has a great plan for your life. His plan is to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future, and to give you a hope for your future. So if you're in the middle of a situation right now that seems to be hopeless, I want to tell you to be encouraged. Be encouraged. Know that it's not over. It's not over until God says it's over. It is not over until God says it's over. I'm excited, as you can see. I'm excited about today's show. I'm excited about the guest that is joining me on today. Today, I'm joined by another Christian woman of power, a wonderful woman of God who has become my friend. She's very dear to me, and she has really, really come into my life in a powerful way. I met her last year while we were doing a women's conference together, and the Lord has blessed me through this woman. I want to welcome Tina Boisicrol to the show. Tina, welcome to the program.
Hello, hello. Thank you.
Hello, hello. Thank you for being a guest on today. Not a guest. I call you a guest, but as I was saying, you are a friend, and the Lord has led you into my life. I don't call many people friend.
Well, praise God, because I know. You know how I feel. I just love you, girl. You're my girl.
Thank you. Thank you. And I love you, too. And I said that to you the other day. We were talking, and we were getting ready to hang up, and I said, I love you. And you hesitated for just a second because, you know, we have to think twice when people start declaring their love for us. And then you said, I love you, too. And as I hung up and I said, Lord, I know I took her by surprise, but I'm one that speaks my mind and I speak what I feel. And you're one of those people that is easy to love. You're a beautiful woman, and I just want to show my appreciation publicly for you.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here today.
Well, I'm glad that you're here. We're going to talk today about success in the marketplace. We're going to Tina is a biblical life coach. She has quite a bio here. She's a New Yorker, a native New Yorker.
Yes, I am. New York to the bone.
New York to the bone. And I don't even know where Tarrytown is.
Tarrytown is 36 minutes from Grand Central Station, from Midtown.
Okay, okay.
It is known for Washington Irving. It's the place, my high school, I went to a Sleepy Hollow High School, and the families that are there are the Van Tassels, you know, known for the story of the Headless Horseman and all that other stuff. So that's what Tarrytown is. Tarrytown is one of those cute little villages that are very close to the city, full of a very diverse group of people.
Wow, so it's like a historical setting almost?
Yes, it's very beautiful. I mean, and all types of people walk down the street. When I was a kid, we used to walk down the street and see this little old man named Wally Buxton. And Wally Buxton was the town historian.
Mm.
And he literally would be in little cafes in the town, would ask questions. And then if he saw a group of us kids sitting there, would start telling us about the history of the town. And then a little lady would come in with a straw hat, and she would have like little dirty sneakers on and overalls. And that was Happy Rockefeller, who's the mother of all the Rockefellers.
Wow.
And she would just walk through the town. So there's a lot of rich culture and history in Tarrytown. I always tell people I love my little town. I don't live there because it's very expensive, but I love being raised in such a diverse community.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. That's a book, as you were describing your town and the people there, I was thinking, boy, I should be, well, I am recording this, so I should be able to write a book using some of the characteristics of the town and the people.
Mm-hmm.
Tina, we're going to, I'm going to introduce you formally, but what I do and what I love to do is pray and invoke the Spirit of the Lord, which He's with you and He's with me. And
mm-hmm.
the Bible says, where two or more gathered in His name, He too shall be in the midst. And we definitely want Him in our midst.
Amen.
Amen. So let us go and pray before the Lord. Let us pray.
Yes.
Father God, we praise Your holy name. Lord, we worship You. You are worthy to be praised. There is none like You, Lord. We love You, Lord, and we just bless Your name on today, Father God. We come before You, Your daughters, Father God, to serve You and Father God, to glorify Your name. So let this power in the Word show, Father God, be to Your glory. Let us say what You would have us to say, and let us do what You would have us to do. Incline our ears to hear Your Word, and incline our lips to say what You have us to say. So, Father, even for the listeners who will listen to this program on today or listen via the archive, I ask that You touch each and every person, Father God. Minister to them, Father God. Let them call in if they have a question burning on their hearts, Father God. And let them get to know You like we know You, Father God. Resolve all questions, Father God, and all skepticism, Father God, that may be in the minds of anyone tuning in on today, Father God. Let them see what it really is like to be Christian women of power on purpose, Father God, and let them know that they too have a purpose and a call on their lives, and they too can have peace, joy, prosperity, happiness, and all of those things that are promised to us as children of the Most High God. So we praise You and we glorify Your name. We thank You for this hour, and we ask that You continue, Father God, to be in our midst. We give You the glory, the honor, and the praise.
Yes.
In the precious name of Jesus Christ. We pray, amen,
amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen, amen, amen.
Amen. So what's going on, Tina? What's going on?
Well, you know, God is always on the throne, and I thank God for that, because when you look around at what's happening, even on the political stage, amongst the economy, and then in the church, you have to wonder sometimes, what are people thinking?
Oh, absolutely.
What are people thinking? And then I have to remember, my relationship is not a horizontal relationship. It's a vertical relationship with the Lord, and everything's at hand. But I just thank God every single day that I know Him.
Amen.
And in the power of His resurrection.
Oh, yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. You're about to start something up in here today. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's why I love you, Tina, because you're real. You're real, and I believe in keeping it real. I believe in, and another reason that I love you, and I believe it's the main reason that I love you, is that you know our Father. You know Him.
Mm-hmm.
You know Him. When we got married 10 years ago, about 11 years ago, the preacher asked us both, do you know Him? Do you know Jesus Christ? And it was just it's a spectacular thing because we were newly saved, and all of our friends were in the audience, and half of them or most of them were not saved. So for us to be standing up the previous disco king and disco queen, the leaders of the pack, for us to be standing up declaring that we do know Jesus and that we love Him, it really changed the dynamics of our relationships with the people who attended our wedding.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine.
Right? Because there are so many. You mentioned, you touched on something. You talked about the church, what's going on in the world. We know that there's a lot going on in the world, and Christ talked about we would be in the world but not of the world. But then it seems like the world is crossing over into the church, because there's a lot going on in the church that's just not right.
Yes.
It's just not right.
That's right. I mean, there's a lot that we're trying to emulate of the world, and that always leaves me scratching my head, considering God has called us to be prophet, priests, and kings.
Mm.
And I believe it says in the book of Hosea that like the people, like the priests,
yes,
that means if it's not happening in the church, don't be surprised when you don't see it in the world.
My God.
We
My
set
God.
The thermostat of what is permitted on this earth through the stewardship that God has blessed us with through our salvation.
My God. And where did we get it wrong? It seems like we've gotten it twisted, because You're so in the spirit. You are so in the spirit. We were at a Toastmasters meeting last night. My husband is competing in the contest. He won, as a matter of fact. He gave a powerful speech last night.
Praise God.
Praise God. And we were at that meeting last night, and there was a sister there that we know from. She's visited my women's groups on numerous occasions. She's a member of another church here in New Jersey. But she said that they are allowing the children to listen to the music of the world in the church and to watch certain movies that are portrayed, that are rated like R rating,
mm-hmm.
with the sex and the violence and, yep. and the profanity. They are allowing that to be viewed in the church.
Wow.
And they're saying that the reason that they're doing it is that the children need to be exposed to it to see what not to do. So they're playing the movies and they're playing the music, and then they're giving sermons against the music and against the movies. And I just don't see where we need the world to teach us how to be, how not to be in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, it should be the other way around, where the church is teaching the world the right way to be, the abundant way to be.
That's right.
Because
that's,
we don't, go ahead.
I'm just agreeing with you, sister, because that is, when I hear things like that, I remember being at a youth group several years ago, and the kids were playing a whole bunch of M-rated games, video games. And I'm like, how is this edifying to the children? And I even sort of took a stance where I said, if they're going to be playing these games, then my son will not be participate.
Right.
Because he came here to get the word of God. And, you know, people are saying, well, you know, you have to be relevant. I don't think it's relevant for us to sit there and focus on sinner or not sinner, Christian or not Christian, to be focusing on violence and things that destroy the mind and the body.
Yes, amen.
And then also, it's very ignorant for us to believe that with that being exposed, with that the exposure itself is not doing anything, that you can say a little bit of a word and it will erase the spiritual communion that just happened by participating in certain forms of media.
That's good. That's good. That is really good. I believe that we should limit the exposure to this type of stuff. They think we're crazy as parents because our children don't watch R-rated movies.
Mm-hmm.
And our children don't play M-rated games. We have a 14-year-old, and he's playing very basic general games with no violence, no blood, no shooting, no cursing. And that is just the way it is. And our kids, when people look at our children, they see something different. We had our children with us last night, and they commended our whole family, because when you look at our family, you see God.
Mm-hmm.
We're not walking around with Bibles.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You don't have to do that, because you become the living word.
That's right. You don't need the bumper sticker and the T-shirt and the cross earrings
to
identify you.
Right. Nothing against people that do that. As long as you're not, if you have a bumper sticker on your car,
mm-hmm.
right, Tina? If you have a bumper sticker on your car and someone cuts you off in traffic, and you give that person a finger, you know, flip that person a bird or whatever it is. Now, how are you glorifying God? And I have people who have "I love Jesus," "Jesus saves," bumper stickers, the whole bumper is covered, and they will look at me and curse me out because I made a mistake. And sometimes I do make mistakes, and maybe turned or didn't have my blinker on and didn't turn, or something like that, or maybe following too closely. People will curse you out.
Mm-hmm.
In the name of Christianity, which is why people are so turned off. And it's only God, because I don't know where this program is going today. But if you're listening, it's meant for you to listen to this today. God is saying that we need to get our act together as Christians.
That's right. That's right. And it's all about alignment, because one thing that I was just writing, I think I even wrote it on the message board, is that when we realize what the Word says, that we need to walk after the Spirit of God, and then we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Yeah.
A lot of times we just try not to fulfill the lust of the flesh. We don't think about the walk after the Spirit of God. Walk in the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
Let Him be your rear guard. But you're moving.
Right, exactly. Because
and as you're going,
yes.
the Spirit of God is there. That's where the disconnect comes. I find a lot of people want the Spirit of God when they sit in their prayer closet, and then they walk out of their prayer closet as themselves,
mm-hmm.
and then they can cuss someone out on the street.
Mm-hmm. And that's important, because in order to walk in the Spirit of God, you have to die to the flesh. You have to die to yourself. Take up your cross,
mm-hmm.
die to your flesh, and follow me. It's not about you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about you. When you are walking with God and truly wanting the abundant life that Jesus Christ came to give you, there is a sacrifice, and people will preach it wrong. It's been preached. I said when I got saved that somebody finally preached it right. But it's not about you, and it's not about keeping you, heaven and hell. It is important that when you die, you know you're going to heaven. That's important to me.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yes,
important to me. But even as important is that I get a little taste of heaven right here on earth.
That's right.
I want the abundant life today that Jesus Christ came and lived and died and was resurrected so that I can have. I want that abundant life now. I don't want to wait. I want a husband who loves me. I want children who obey me and respect me. I want money in the bank. Okay, yes, I did say money, M-O-N-E-Y, money in the bank, more money, as a matter of fact, so that I can do the ministry that the Lord has called me to do. And, Tina, what's that about? We've gotten so afraid. Tina is a life, you're a life success. You're a biblical coach, and
that's right.
And what is that about? Where you're a biblical coach? First and foremost, tell me what exactly that is, because a lot of people are out getting life coaches. I saw Paula White on Tyra Banks.
Yep, just yesterday.
As a life coach, they didn't have biblical in front of her name because I don't know if she's a biblical life coach yet, but she should. I guess maybe she couldn't because of the audience, but I saw her as a life coach. And what's the difference between a life coach and a biblical life coach?
Well, there's some key distinctions when it comes to those who are being certified and being educated as life coaches.
Okay.
The whole industry of coaching is not a new industry. You know, it's been around at least since the 70s. It's just been recently that people have gotten on fire for it because they found out that Oprah had a coach and Tiger Woods has a coach. But when it comes to being a life coach, in general, our whole job is to have that powerful conversation that gets you from the point of intention to the point of manifestation. That is the job of a coach.
I love that. Okay,
that is the
so
job
what's
of a
the
coach.
Between the biblical and the just the general life coach? Is
it's all motivation. With a life coach, generally speaking, a life coach is about human potential, about what can you do as a human. And the rule of thumb is that, you know, with the secular coaching is that if it feels good to you, it must be right, so go with it.
Okay.
And let me support you in it. With biblical coaching, we don't have that conversation. I like to say it's a little more chiropractic. We do a little bit more adjustments because it must be aligned and motivated by the Bible giving glory to God.
Oh, okay. That's a big difference.
There's a big difference. So we can say, yeah, you know what? I really feel motivated to do X, Y, and Z. But our first conversation with one of our clients or even teaching our students to be coaches is, who told you that this is what needs to happen? From a really loving place, but a very clear one, that
okay.
we are born to worship Him, that we are created to love Him. So if it's not giving glory to God, there's certain things that you know that are not going to give glory to God.
Yes. Yeah,
and being aligned and being aligned with it.
So you're not endorsing any of that stuff. So basically, if someone is doing something that they know is not going to give glory to God, do you find a way to talk to them, to talk it out until they get to the point where they realize that this thing is not going to give glory to God, or do you just tell them that's not the thing, that's not it?
Well, when you just tell someone what to do, that's really considered giving advice.
Okay.
Or counseling. With a coach, what we do is that you and that client are now in what you call covenant agreement. And you're going to have conversations based on either it's a small project or a large project. Some of our clients come to us because they need alignment, time balance. They have time scarcity or financial scarcity. So they'll come to you for a specific thing. But the first thing we do is we try to get really clear with where they are, what their motivations are, and who God is to them. That's
okay.
a major distinction when it comes to biblical coaching.
Okay, but you coach people from all walks of life. You're not just coaching Christians.
I'm not just coaching. I coach anyone. As long as the Lord leads me there, I coach organizationally. I coach individually. But they all know that I am biblically aligned. So it's going to be a difference in how I approach my conversation. Some things I know are clearly an outreach function, even though that is my profession. But they know I will not edit.
Okay.
My textbook is the Bible, no matter what venue I'm in.
Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And that's where God is doing. That's what God is doing. He's taking us from the church to the marketplace. And that's one of the topics that I wanted to cover on today, going from the church to the marketplace and taking the ministry from the church to the marketplace. This is a call-in show, and if you're listening, you can call in. You can call in if you have any questions for Tina or myself, or if you want to agree or disagree with anything that we say, because we're open to be able to have a conversation about the Word of God. The call-in number is 646-652-4832, and you can call in at any time during the program. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give something away today for the fifth caller. I will give away a copy of my book, and this is a powerful, powerful book. It's actually my first book, Nobody's Business, and it's a book that talks about everything that we consider to be nobody's business. It's a powerful tool, and it will take you from one level to the next, sort of like coaching, but not exactly, because it's more like counseling in the book, amen, but it's a powerful tool that the Lord has used. But Tina, I want to get back to you, and I want to talk to you about what you do as far as coaching. Now, Tina, for those of you who don't know, because I didn't do a full introduction, but Tina is the president of the Biblical Coaching Academy. So not only is she a life coach, a biblical life coach, she is also a trainer, and she also teaches life coaching. Did I get that right, Tina?
That is correct. That is correct. I mean, Biblical Coaching Academy was actually established in 2004, conceptualized in 2003 by Carl Blunt, who is the founder. But it was last year where Carl and I were doing a radio show very similar to this one, and he was listening to my content, and he said, "You're a biblical coach. Even though you speak to a lot of people, you pretty much speak our whole curriculum. Why don't you go over to the site and go check us out?" I did. And even though I had received secular training before that, and I ended up rewriting most of their curriculum to align with the Word of God, I fell in love with some of the people there, became a master certified trainer, and then we were blessed to be able to become partial owners of Biblical Coaching Academy.
Oh, praise the Lord. See, I didn't know that you were partial owners. Wow, you and your husband.
Yes.
Your wonderful husband.
Yes.
Shout out to him.
Yes, my wonderful husband.
So you're basically training coaches. But what I was talking about earlier also is that you are in the marketplace. And, Tina, you come from a very interesting industry.
Yeah.
That you're still very much involved with. Why don't you just tell us a little bit about that and some of the things that you have accomplished in that industry? Because I think it's phenomenal.
Well, it's pretty funny because, you know, God has a sense of humor. And my mother used to start talking about me because my mother's also a minister of the gospel.
Uh-huh.
And she would say, "My daughter was born with a mic in one hand and a martini in the other saying, 'Where's the party?' Because she knew that I was going to be in the entertainment industry from the day I was born.
Wow.
You know, just the day I was born. So she was part of a group that sang the song Natural High. So she was a professional entertainer. My father was accepted to Juilliard at the age of 15 years old.
Oh.
So he was a musician, and my grandfather was in quartets, and all of us used to come together even as a child around cooking and cleaning collard greens and singing four-part vocal harmony, singing choir songs. So we've been in the music in some aspect all of my life. I was a classically trained musician, so I played the woodwinds and I sang classical music for the first portion of my life. So it was always something that I always said music saved my life when I was a kid because it kept me off the street.
Yes.
Where a lot of the kids were doing whatever and hanging out and partying, I was practicing my flute for 3 or 4 hours a day. And doing vocal runs and competing in this and that competition. So it was a major part of my life, and I thank God allowed that level of creative expression.
Yeah,
there's a lot of things, other things that have happened, you know, that I needed that outlet. So I always tell, encourage parents to look for the artistic voice of your child so God can speak to them through that.
I receive that. I receive that because my daughter loves to sing. And we watched the girl on American Idol the other night, and she hit those notes. You saw her, right? I don't know if you saw it, but she just tore it up, the last contestant, the final contestant. I don't have her name, but my daughter has been practicing those notes, and she's never had voice lessons. I'm wondering if I should put her in voice school to actually get some lessons because she has a beautiful voice. So,
It's always an empowering thing, music. Actually, there's an organization that we're working with called ElevateHope.org. And the organization was founded by Sheila E., who
Yes.
Is the known
drummer,
for her.
The drummer girl. Yes.
She's a Christian now, powerful woman of God, preaching the gospel. But that whole nonprofit is focused on keeping the music in the public school system. So I'm blessed to be able to work with them in making sure that some of the groups that I work with over here can partner with them. So I work with the Harlem Boys Choir and the Harlem Girls Choir, which is really known for world-class performance.
Yes, yes, they're awesome, yes.
To keep the kids motivated. And I know for myself, I don't think I would have been as focused and as disciplined as I am now if it wasn't for that strong creative discipline and background.
Yes, your background has prepared you for what you're doing now. We were talking about ministry in the marketplace because you are working with a lot of people, Christian and secular, artists who need your ministry, and you're a vocal person, Tina. You're just so vocal, and I love it because you tell the truth and you don't mind. You don't compromise what you believe. Like you said, your Bible is your textbook, but now the Lord has prepared you from a little child to be in this industry, which is very controversial for Christians because we see it. We see the is it the Grammys? Help me out. I think it's the Grammys where you have the hip hop artists and they're holding up their awards, giving honor and glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are, the traditional Christians or the people who just know about God in the church. Mm-hmm. We're sitting back saying, "How does this person know God?" With the lyrics that come out of their mouths, how is it possible that they can even stand to be able to give glory to God? I mean, can you shine any light on that at all?
Well, you have two scenarios. You have people who are culturally Christian who are in the music business.
Okay.
I mean, God has blessed me to be on both sides, the gospel side and the secular side. So I've seen gospel people sing about Jesus. I mean, they have so many Jesus songs with Jesus, 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 and be as evil as the day is long.
Jesus.
And then I've seen people say the most horrible things in their songs, but have more of the heart of Christ off camera than some of the Christians. So it can be very confusing.
Yeah.
I hold a very strong line on that when God has blessed me to talk to many of the different artists. And I tell them, I said, you know, it's very important for you to not confuse the children. And the reason why I say that is because you are a prophet of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
They will follow you and hear you. If you say something is cool, they'll think that it's cool. And because of that, you're going to be judged.
Yeah.
Whether you think you should be or not. And the minute you have put the name of Jesus Christ coming out of your mouth, your judgment is going to be harder.
My God.
It's going to be hard. And I tell them the truth, because if I don't tell them the truth, who will?
That's right. That's right. If you don't tell them the truth, who will? And I believe that a lot of people that do get saved in the industry, when they go to church, I think that the pastors, some of the pastors and some of the ministers there that have an accountability to these people to tell them the truth, they are so in awe of them and their status that they are intimidated to the point, or maybe just so, like I said, so starstruck that they're not telling the truth. They're just so happy to have a celebrity in the church, and maybe they're looking at the dollars and cents as well, but it's doing an injustice because that's the soul that's hanging in the balance.
That's right. And see, that goes back to the core motivation.
Yeah.
For the pastor, for the artist, it's the core. Why are you in this?
Yeah.
Are you in this to have a 5,000-member church?
Right.
Just to get the offerings? I'm all for people wanting to fill their churches. I'm for it because that means that's one less person on the street not knowing God.
Amen. Praise God.
If that's your motivation.
Yes.
But when you have a celebrity, and, you know, thank God for people like Stephen Baldwin, who's a beautiful Christian man.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my puppy, Everlasting Grace.
Okay. Everlasting Grace, I love that.
Yeah, she's yelling at me right now. But when you have people like Stephen Baldwin who have taken the road to Christ, but he observed the fact that as soon as the celebrity gets saved, the church sort of swoops down on him.
Mm.
And then 2 years later, that person is not saved anymore because they've been offended. So Stephen sort of jumps in the middle of that
into
discipleship training, and it's just a wonderful thing.
Oh,
so
that's awesome.
I think that's the problem. I think the people get saved and the pastors get starstruck because their motivations are not completely aligned with the heart of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's for that moment, we don't have it all together all the time.
That's true. That is true.
We don't have it all together all the time. We're still humans.
That's
then
what
the person.
Daily. Go ahead.
That's right. The person gets offended. They feel the same pressure they feel in Hollywood. You might as well go right back to Hollywood.
Mm.
And then you have the people sitting in the church, and again, you said, you know, like you said, they get all awestruck by them. They don't tell them the truth. They don't tell them that their lifestyle is not conducive.
Yes, exactly. And it's not just picking on people, because you have a lot of people coming in the church and their lifestyles are not right. But it's important, it's just imperative that we don't whitewash the gospel. It is important that we preach the gospel, the whole gospel, and nothing but the gospel. There is no other gospel by which men and women can be saved and set free from some of the things that had them in bondage before they came to the church. Celebrities are people too.
They're humans. That's their job, and that's something I emphasize. A lot of my clients are what you would consider celebrity status individuals. They're peak performers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what they always say to me is like, Tina, you know what? You don't really get excited about anything. I'm like, dude, that's your job. If you worked at IBM, it's the same thing. That's your job.
Yes.
But my conversation with you is keeping you aligned with the Word of God and making sure that your projects are completely aligned with your vision so that you will not have to go through pressure or overwhelm because you're operating in a dichotomy, running two agendas at the same time.
That's right. That's right. And I love that, the fact that you're out there in that industry. That's why I was so excited about having you on the program today, is because you're out there in that industry and you are able to minister to those who have not heard the truth in the church, or they perhaps were turned off from the church. Because you, if the truth were to be told, and I'm going to do a program next week about controversy in the church and how the church is really letting down a lot of people. People are lost. They're coming in the church looking for salvation, looking to be found. Mm-hmm. And it's all being twisted and being turned around, that they're coming out of the church. They're running away from the church because they've been bruised in the church. People are being wounded in the church, and we need to just check ourselves. We just really, people of God, we need to check ourselves, because the first thing that I want to know is, where is the love? And I know that's what people are saying when they come into our churches, and their lives are full of sin because they're not saved yet. And we say, come to Jesus just as you are. Come to Jesus, and he'll change your life and make you brand new. But they come, and we're looking at them like they have three heads, like they don't belong. And then they leave. They leave because they're like, well, these are a bunch of judgmental, religious, hard-nosed, hard-hearted folk.
Well, you know what the problem is, and this is, I'm going to speak to the church. So if you're a Christian out there, you know, just know I love you, but I'm going to say what I have to say.
Say it, sister.
Okay? The bottom line is, we say, yes, Jesus, fix my life. I confess to you. I believe that you have risen. You are the Son of God. I am saved. They don't continue from that point.
Okay.
So your spirit is completely new. You are born again spirit, but your mind has not been renewed by the Word of God.
That's right.
So now you have a whole bunch of people who are still carrying the luggage, carrying the pain, carrying the hurt and the upset, and they run into the hospital. Praise God for the church, because it is a hospital.
Yes.
But they're not getting well. What they're doing is finding the Word to agree with their current state. And then they're judging other people based on where they came from. So they're not able to minister to them because they put on a piety hat. Yeah, I'm born again, I'm saved. But if we read that Word for real, where that scripture says you're soteri.
That's right.
That soul, that salvation is a continuing process. So
that's
now that
right.
You've got a regenerated spirit, okay, your mind needs to be renewed. Not just reading a Bible scripture every single day, just one scripture, but also understanding that that Bible scripture needs to be applied.
Action. Yeah.
In the area of your marriage, in the area of your personal relationship, in the area of intimacy, in the area of your finances, the area of your business, your conduct. It needs to be applied.
And I think that's where a lot of people are missing it, because and it happens, because it's a process.
I went through it. I was as pious as the day was long, I'm telling you. And I know how it entered in. It entered in through offense. I became offended with what I saw in the church.
Okay.
And instead of me caring, I started to look at the letter of the Word and started measuring things by the letter. And thank God, I kept saying to the Lord every single day, Lord, you know, take this heart of stone, make it into a heart of flesh.
Yeah.
Lord, your will be done in my life. Your will be done. So he was able to direct my path.
Amen.
Because I kept saying, Lord, your Word is everything. I can't breathe without you. But meanwhile, I was so bitter and angry about things that happened. When people would come to me, it was almost like everyone had a demon.
Yeah. Exactly.
I don't want to be bothered. And I was not nice, and I turned into my great aunt, one of my great aunts who was not nice. I mean, she was a Pentecostal Christian, God rest her soul, because everything she said to me as a child was true.
Yeah. And it's amazing that we don't we have to realize that God wants better for us than what we already have.
Yeah.
And a lot of us, we come in and we get saved, but there's not enough of what is it that I have to say? There seems to be a disconnect between the faith and the works. You know, the Bible tells us that faith without works is dead. Not meaning that you get saved with works, but meaning that said if you have some faith, then your works should line up with your faith.
Amen. And you know what? There's a scripture that God gave me today, and I said, Lord, is this for Pastor Rebecca's show? And you just confirmed. And the scripture is in 1 John chapter 5.
1 John 5,
And it's something that's near and dear to my heart because I hear a lot of people who are just waiting on the Lord, but they won't do anything, right? And then you hear about people who are doing, but they're not hearing from God. Okay? So I love this whole portion in the beginning that talks about what are the benefits of believing in Jesus Christ? What are the characteristics of those who believe? And that is the victory that overcomes the world, right?
Yep.
But in 5 it says, who is he that overcomes the world but he that believeth in Jesus Christ, that believe that Jesus Christ is the Son? Then 6 is a scripture we sort of skip a little bit, and one day God just had it blow up in my heart, just blow up in my spirit.
What chapter? That's 1 John 5.
5, verse 6.
Verse 6,
This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. Very simple scripture.
Yeah.
What is the scripture saying? That it is he that is water. Water signifies your salvation experience, your sanctification.
Yes.
The cleansing. The blood is the human experience. The shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross, it's the human experience, the sacrifice. He came by the spirit of sanctification and what he was willing to offer in his humanity, and the Spirit bear witness.
Jesus.
Both must be present.
Jesus.
So, yeah, you get your sanctification experience. The Lord has spoken to you. You are saved. Your spirit is completely regenerated. You are no longer far off from the covenants of promise. You have now been adopted into the sons.
Amen.
You are a son of God. Praise the Lord. But after that point, he's going to tell you to do something. If you don't do it, you're in disobedience and in sin.
Well, Tina said it. I didn't. So
I'm sorry.
To me on Monday.
I'm a marketplace person, and when I see
said
people,
it, but you said it. You said you are in disobedience.
You're in disobedience. Sin is not just sleeping with folk and doing this and lying and cussing and cheating. Sin is anything that causes the separation of you and God from being in fluid and continuous fellowship.
Amen. Amen. And that's
it. Could be a Hershey bar. It could be witnessing to the cashier at the grocery store.
Yes. Yeah, and God delivered me, so that Hershey bar thing didn't hurt me today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Because last week I would have been hurt with the Hershey bar because I was in disobedience. And, you know, Tina, that's a word right there. That is a word. Because
a very simple scripture. It's one that blows up in my spirit when it comes to the kingdom dynamic, too. Because if the Lord has told you to start a business, what people will do is say, well, I'm starting a business. This has nothing to do with God. I'm trying to make some dough.
Okay. So they take God out of the picture, and it's about them now. And I want you to call in, listeners, I want you to call in and ask Tina a question. I'm going to talk to her for a few minutes about what are some of the keys to being successful, and that's what she's going right into when she talks about starting the business and going out there without God. The number is 646-652-4832. 646-652-4832. But Tina, you mentioned starting a business. God will tell us to go out and start a business, but then we will go out there and say, I'm starting a business, and it has nothing to do with God. Again, we have a disconnect. We're leaving God out of the picture. What is that about? And how do we line up everything that we need to in order to be successful out here? Because we're not living in the church. We still have to come out and make money. We still have to come out and do a job. How do we do that and make sure that God is getting the glory?
Well, I think it's a lot of misinformation. I always say that my father's gotten a bad rap.
Yeah.
And one thing about about money in the Bible, people are like, oh, that pastor, he only talks about money. Talks about abundance. Just talks about money. Well, you know, you should be mad at God, too, because there's more scriptures about money.
Yeah.
In the Bible. then you ever want to find out, go to BibleGateway.com and search money. Search money. You will be very surprised about what God says about money.
That's right. The
number one thing is being able to know that God is in it and he confirms you as a business owner. I think that's a fault of the church also because, you know, a lot of pastors will go to a businessman because they know they have a lot of money they can give into the offering. But for some reason, they don't believe that their ministry is valid. It could be a gift of administration. They don't believe it's a valid gift to own a business.
Okay.
So they may not confirm them or even feed them as ministers, where if you have a staff of employees, you know that's no different than being a pastor.
That's right.
Shepherding and stewarding over the flock. So we don't get a lot of teaching about that. Then you have people who will start a business, a part-time business, to supplement income. That's very good, but make sure it's given unto the Lord. These are the works of your hands.
Mm.
And he said, I will bless the works of your hands.
Yes.
And then he said to Joshua, every place you put your feet is yours.
Mm.
So if you know that there are scriptures that are for your benefit everywhere that you go, but you're going someplace that you're not willing to bring God, My grandmother used to say to me, don't go anywhere that you can't bring Jesus with you.
Jesus. And that's a struggle for a lot of people because you don't, and this, I think there's a way to do it, Tina, right? But you can be in business as a Christian, but not have to have a Christian-based business.
That's right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So how do we do that? How do we, if someone has the call to open a boutique and they don't, they have that boutique and they open that boutique, do they have to put Jesus loves you as a banner in their boutique? Or even do they have to put the little fish on their business cards? Is that important? Or is that taking God out of the picture?
No, I don't think it's those basic things that make all the difference in the world.
Mm-hmm.
If that's what God said for you to do, then that's what you need to do. But I think the most important thing that I know is a key for success is that I don't necessarily knock people upside the head with Jesus, 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 but I let them know the love of God.
Yes.
And because we are living epistles. We may be the only Bible.
Amen.
That a person will read. So when they want to know, where did you get that from? I mean, as a small child, people would say, where did you get this from? Wow, you have a lot of wisdom. I'm like, that's in the Bible.
Oh, you would, even as a small child, to you.
It's in the Bible. I mean, I heard it every day. We were in church so many times, girl. You know, people were playing Barbies. We were playing revival.
Oh.
We were lining up church chairs. And my little cousin was directing us as a choir. And we would do a processional.
See, I already told you you're a prophet and apostle. You're walking in at least four to five. I may have all five of the offices. But it's amazing because you, even as a little child, were able to speak up and tell people right from wrong and to look to God. So basically what you're saying, though, is it's okay to have a business. Like, say someone is working in an office right now. I have a few people who are working in their offices as they listen. Do they – is it important for that person to read their Bible during lunchtime? Do you have to walk around with a Bible? Do you have to let – do you have to quote scripture to let people know that you're a Christian?
I used to have a very big problem with scripture quoters.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me they were quoting scriptures as an empty exercise.
Yes.
I don't believe you have to read your Bible during lunch, but you need to know what God is saying to you.
Amen.
Because I didn't believe when I worked corporate, I didn't believe that I had to walk around all the time reading my Bible, but I ended up doing it anyway.
Right, because you were hungry for the Word of
God. I was hungry for the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
When everybody else went to Wendy's for lunch, I was walking around this little pond we had by our job and praying and just uttering and speaking and thanking God for his mercy and his grace. I mean, because I want to, not because I have to. It's not something you can put on someone because it becomes legalistic.
Yeah.
It's not a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you need to have, you have to be able to relate to God. And see, what's great is when you relate to him, he relates to you.
Mm.
So if you only have 10 minutes to give before God, you give it to him with all your heart, in spirit and in truth, and he receives it.
Amen.
You don't have to pray for 4 hours. I know there was a season when I was praying that long, And I think we discussed this not that long ago.
Yeah.
But I had to because my mind was not renewed.
Praise the Lord. I had to. It was life or death.
It was life or death.
And
I knew I had no value in this world system.
That's right. And that's the word. That's the word right there. I want you to share with somebody because there are some people out there that just don't feel like they have enough value to walk into the abundant life. What are some of the things? Some of the things that they can do to be able to get delivered and to hook into connect to the lifeline. What can somebody do that feels stuck? I'm just stuck. Somebody's just stuck. They're listening. They tuned in. They said, I'm stuck. I'm not having any success in my marriage, my life, my business, nothing. My relationship with God, how do I get unstuck?
Well, for me, my question is going to be the same question. First of all, do you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? And that's critical. I don't care if you've been in church for 25 years. I have prayed with pastors who were pastors already, and they could not tell me a date.
My God.
When they accepted the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm.
So that's the first thing. Make sure that you're aligned. Open up your Bible. Go to Romans 10:10.
Yes.
And confess that word and say, Lord Jesus, my life, my heart, my spirit, my soul, my family, it's yours. Then the second thing is realize that you really only have one job. And to some people, this may put you in bondage, and some people may free you. But your job is to worship him.
Jesus.
We were created to worship him.
My God.
If I'm called to be a garbage man or a garbage person or sanitation engineer, then I need to worship him where I am. Well, how do I do that? By being a living epistle. Walking in love, walking in truth.
Yes, yes.
Everywhere that I go, and be committed to that. The third thing I would tell people is that you need to decide whose report you will believe.
Oh, Jesus. Go ahead, preach it, girl.
You need to make a decision, and it's actually the founder of Biblical Coaching who says decision, and he broke this down to me one day during a radio show, and I loved it. Decision means you have D meaning away, side meaning cut. You have cut away all other opportunities. And you have made a decision that the word of God is my final authority.
Amen.
And that is a big thing to make a decision about. Why? Because there are so many voices in this world.
Yes, yes.
There's so many voices in this world, but you must decide that I agree with the word of God.
I agree with the word of God. Now, that's a decision. How do we move from decision to action to manifestation? I know we only have a few more minutes. This is a short show.
Mm-hmm.
Tina, I'm talking with Tina Borsico.
Mm-hmm.
Tina helped me, Borsico.
That's right, Borsico, you got it.
And she's a biblical life coach. She's also the president of Biblical Coaching Academy. Her website, she has tinaspeaks.com. You can go there and find out more about her ministry and what she does. Drama-free radio. Tina also has a radio station, live radio station, Drama-Free Radio. I'm actually on there this week, amen.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing the archive this week from an interview that Tina did with myself and her co-host, Marlo.
Mm-hmm.
And also she has another website, unityprayer.com. These are three places that you can go, unityprayer.com, to find out more about this very outspoken woman of God who is a mouthpiece for the Lord.
Amen.
And I'm trying to pull something out of you, Tina, though. I'm trying to pull out of you, and you still have a few minutes. You only have about 12 more minutes to call, Tina, and the number is 646-652-4832. I'm trying to pull out of you how you have someone who says they believe the word. I believe the word. I believe the word of God. I know the word of God. I know that if I do this, this is going to be the outcome because I believe the word of God, yet I'm standing in my way, and I'm stuck, and I just can't get out of this rut.
And I'm going to say the same thing, and this is something that my clients get so frustrated because they're like, what should I do? Nothing. What should I do? Stand still and see the salvation of God. What should I do? Our inclination in our society, westernized society, means I need it. We want it fast. We want it now. We want it quick. And my mother used to say to me, and it used to make me very frustrated when I was 16, 17 years old, that God does not microwave. He marinates.
Jesus.
He marinates. Take the time to get before God. Take the time to journal. Take the time to remember the testimony, the previous testimonies of God. There lies the strategies. There's a theme. And you're going to see it throughout your life. And if you have someone that you trust, like a beautiful mom like I have, that is also my spiritual mother, she brought me to the Lord,
yeah.
Then you speak to them and ask them to give you a little bit of a 360 assessment. What have you seen thematically go on with my life? Where do you think it goes wrong? What do you think my strengths are? Go before God with that too. And you'll be able to uncover your own story through your previous experiences, because that's going to give you the fuel to move forward.
Okay.
Get the truth on it.
Okay.
Get the truth on it. Get the testimony of the Lord. Not what your perceptions are, because what the enemy does is he takes our past, uses it against us, makes us afraid of the future because of it, and we become ineffective right now.
That's it. That is it. Yes. Yes.
So take the time to build down. If you don't have a good foundation, I don't care what kind of beautiful edifice you want to erect, that building will fall. Build down.
Mm.
Foundation of prayer. Foundation of reflection and meditation. If you need a quick fix right now, my kids come to me and they'll say, Mommy, I need an answer right now. I always tell them, your answer is no.
Right now?
Right now, your answer is no.
Wow.
Because my Father owns time. That pressure that you feel, and I know this is another show,
Go ahead.
Me is the spirit of mammon. And what the Lord expressed mammon to me, mammon is comprised of time and money. You can't get back time, and you can't get back money.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there's a pressure involved when it comes to that spirit of mammon, because we pursue more time, more money, and more money is going to give us more time. And if we had more time, we can make more money. And it's a deception.
Mm.
And it gives you pressure to perform now.
That's it? Yeah.
When God says, no. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen.
Jesus.
And God says, when Jesus was walking and talking to the demoniac says, have you come to tempt me before the time? And Jesus said, now is. So if you can get a little tiny bird's eye view into this strategy here, is that the enemy wants you to jerk and act outside of the will and the obedience of God. And because of that, he wants you to take up your time and resources. Just stop and seek God's face.
My God.
And, His face, no matter where you are.
And Tina, this is good. That's good preaching, girl. That is, you could come back and preach to me anytime. I needed this word. I'm just jerking in my spirit. I'm like, Lord, thank you, Jesus. I receive it. And when you think about it, somebody might say, well, you're a pastor. Don't you know preachers need preachers? Too. Amen. Preachers
Amen.
Preachers.
Amen.
Because we pour out and we need somebody that's going to come with some rhema word to
Amen.
Be able to pour into us. But when you think about that thing, the enemy will get you to a point where you get into a period of desperation, negativity, and inactivity.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So instead of doing nothing, like you said, stop and be still and seek God's face. Some of us just stop and be still and we don't go the next step.
Mm-hmm.
We're not seeking his face. We're not praying. We're not journaling. We're not meditating on the word of the Lord. Therefore, we are very unproductive, and that is key. That's so important that you shared that with us.
And that's serving. See, when we look at weight, you know, when we hear weight, we get upset. But, you know, there's a very good example in our everyday life of waiting. Mm-hmm. Those are waiters. Waiters in a restaurant serve.
Yes.
That's what they do. I need to find my purpose. Well, go and serve, and your purpose is unlocked in your service.
My God.
You'll find out what God wants you to do and what he does not want you to do by serving.
People who are seeking their purpose, they basically need to just go out there and serve. Now, are we serving somebody or are we serving something?
First, serve the Lord.
Serve the Lord. God.
It's never about people. It's always about your daddy's work.
So everything that you do as unto the Lord. You do it unto the Lord.
That's right.
You serve the Lord no matter what it is.
And it sounds easy and it might sound lofty, but can I tell you, if you take that attitude when you have to wash those dishes every single day, even though you washed them already that morning, and you take the joy of the Lord with you, you worship him in spirit and truth, it won't be so burdensome.
Wow.
Even something that small. Even going through hard meetings. I mean, sometimes I'm in meetings, I don't have not one word, I have no inclination, no idea on how I'm going to approach this meeting or handle a specific negotiation. And I remember the Lord saying that when you're in a company of judges, Do not think of what you will say. The Spirit of Truth is going to speak to me. And each time, when I just take that time to stop, not prepare this, and I mean, I walk in every place prepared, so don't think I'm saying being slothful either.
Yes.
Do everything in excellence. But not to get frantic or desperate. That's a key word.
Mm-hmm.
But know that I am aligned with my destiny.
Wow.
I'm destined to be here. Therefore, the Lord is before me. He's my rear guard. He's in me. He's in upon me. I cannot fail because my Father called me to be here.
Amen. Amen.
And each time, as the Lord is my witness, each time God does something unique, and I don't care what the venue is.
Amen. Amen. And that is another key right there, not to be anxious about anything, but to trust in the Lord, knowing that the Word says that He will prosper you, and that everything that you put your hand to
is blessed.
Will be successful as long as we meditate on His Word and delight ourselves on His law.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be like that tree planted by streams of living water, and everything that we do will prosper. And when we get that, when we get the fact that we are blessed,
mm-hmm.
The first sermon that Jesus preached was about the blessedness of His people, those who would follow Him, you know.
Well, the number one thing Jesus preaches about, and I don't know how much time we have left,
I
want people to take their concordance and look through this. The only thing Jesus really spoke about, He didn't speak about, I came here to bless you. He said, the kingdom of God is at hand.
Yes.
And when we realize that He's talking about a kingdom, which is a system that has dominion over this place because it created it, for us to behave like it means we have given up our citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
One thing God spoke to me very clearly when He sent me out into the market. Work at home, mom, I'm a wife. How am I going to get this done? This is a lot of work. He said, Tina, you are an ambassador.
Yes.
You are my ambassador.
Yes.
And the enemy will come to you in many different ways. All you have to do is say one thing that ambassadors say. Diplomatic immunity. Because everywhere I go, the kingdom of God follows me.
Girl, that's a rhema word. That's a breakthrough right there. Diplomatic immunity.
Immunity.
Mm-hmm.
As an ambassador of God. So even in our businesses, bringing it home to something very simple and basic so that we can wrap up with something to do. Take the time. I don't care if it's 10 minutes. Take the time to acknowledge Him, not just prayers, a nervous, fearful prayer. Oh, Lord, help me. Jesus, help me, help me, help me. I'm talking about recognizing Him. Just like with the Lord's Prayer, starts out with, Our Father, who art in heaven,
yeah.
Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That means the earth that He's talking about is even the earth that's around your house and in your kitchen and in your car and anywhere that your children are as it is in heaven.
Yeah.
Start that way. Give me my daily bread.
Mm.
And let me receive your forgiveness
yes.
for everything that happened yesterday.
Amen.
Take the time to really understand that He is for you and not against you.
Amen.
He is your Father. You know, a lot of times I come across people who don't know what God would say, and it's really not so much that they don't know the Word. They don't understand that God wants to love them anyway.
Yes.
They have condemnation. They have a wrong vision of what a father is because
yes.
of either their natural fathers or the situations that they've been through. And we have to align them as coaches with who God is. He's Jehovah Rapha. He is Jehovah Sikkenu. He's just awesome.
Yes, yes, yes.
He's awesome, and He loves His girls. He loves His daughters.
Yeah.
He loves His sons. And because of that, He's not going to lead you someplace that will destroy you.
Yes.
And if you get a little bit off the road, you know the Holy Spirit is an amazing GPS system.
Amen.
He will find you where you are.
Amen.
And put you back on that narrow road.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 And that's Tina Borsico. Tina Borsico, woman of God.
Amen.
Christian woman of power, on purpose and on fire for the
Amen.
Lord. This woman has the word of the Lord in her mouth, in her heart, in her spirit. It's down deep on the inside of you, Tina.
Amen.
Down deep on the
Amen.
He is. The Lord is down deep on the inside of you. And that's how He wants us to walk. You're listening to Power in the Word. You can go over to Tina's website. Tina, are you still doing personal coaching? I know you have a
I still do personal coaching. Right now I focus more on my group classes, And the class that we're forming right now is the Biblical Coaching Certification, which is starting in March.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about that. We have another
Well, this is a 15-week coursework with a group of 10 people, and we are certifying biblical coaches. You will learn our specific system of change, which has been observed through the Bible, how God uses people and how people relate to God when it comes to making a life transformation. And that's a 15-week coursework. And then, of course, you get the industry standard 5 coaching skill sets. The other class that I'm getting ready to jump off at the end of March, which is Women of Vision. Women of Vision is about people who have a vision. It's mm-hmm. about women who have a vision, know it comes from God, but they need to be in a mastermind group setting. They also need some other resources to get them moving from point A to point B.
And I want
and
to get your website out there. I want to get it out because we have about 10 more seconds. What's the website where they can go for information on that?
They can find everything. They can jump off from tinaspeaks.com.
Amen. Praise God. Tina, thank you so much for being on the program today. Praise the Lord. And you, listener, remember to make the most out of every single opportunity. And remember that God loves you, and mm-hmm. so do we here at Power in the Word. Amen. And praise God. Tina, I'll talk to you later. Have a blessed day. And thank you so
you
much
too.
For
thank
being
you.
With me. God bless
thank you,
you
for having me. God bless you.